time now for the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. And now, here she is, the smart, the sexy, the savvy, Divine Miss C.
And welcome to the show. Now, one of the most important things to consider when you're purchasing a home is a home inspection. It's probably the most important thing. And I have a spectacular guest on today. His name is Ludwig Maxwell, and he's from Divinity Home Inspections here in Florida. So if you're thinking about purchasing a home, and we're going to talk about other examples where you may need a home inspection, you're going to want to listen to this show. So I want to welcome you to the show, Ludwig. And if you can share a little bit about your background.
Yes, I appreciate it. I love being here. My background, actually, I started back, I guess, in early 70s. Home inspection wasn't actually really designed back then. It was something fairly new. Most of the time, contractors, the ones that came out and kind of walked through. If you knew somebody, that was great. If you didn't, oh, well, you just got kind of caught, you know, which what happened a lot of times is back then. So eventually something started around 70, 74. Home inspection got started. In the 90s, they kind of renamed it and everything, and really things that took off. So it's mostly back then is if you knew somebody that was great, they could help you. And that's where my start was, is I worked for a very large company. We had a lot of turnovers. A lot of people asked me. My brother was in construction. My dad was in construction. So my brother went, he actually became a general contractor, and he developed his own company, commercial construction. He does it pretty much throughout the United States. So I got a lot of background experience back there. And as I worked in the research and development industry for an engineering company, the employees normally ask me, hey, you know anything about it, come on over, help me identify, what am I looking at? I really don't know. And we always think a home inspection is somebody's coming in, you're looking at things, but really you inspect something every single day. It doesn't matter if you go to a store, buy a sandwich, buy a clothes, a drink, you're always kind of looking at it. That's what we do too. So we kind of analyze what you have. And we look at it, it's the biggest investment you have. It's not just a home you're purchasing. But through that experience, I kind of learned what people thought they wanted and what they really needed. So I kind of developed myself, and I helped a lot of people. My nature is to help. I love helping people. So that's where I got my niche from it. I worked always up until about 2009. I was in the Florida National Guard. I was coming up for a deployment. So I pretty much shut everything down. I was doing pretty most of the stuff, weekends, nights, kind of part-time. For a few years, I did it full-time. But I shut everything down in 2009, deployed in 2010. During my deployment, of course, I knew before I left, the state of Florida was changing their regulation. Now you had to be licensed. So I wrote to them and said, okay, I'm deployed. I'm 8,500 miles from home. I like to be grandfathered in and everything. Well, they told me, well, no, you're not working in industry. We're not going to grandfather you in. Sorry, but that's how it is. Well, I wrote them back. I said, well, that's not fair. I'm over here protecting you, and now you're telling me I'm out of, you know, I'm out in the dark. So I said, well, what do I have to do? They wrote me back a nice little letter and say, hey, we apologize. We didn't mean it that way. But we're going to have to start you all over. You're going to have to be certified, get your 120 hours, and all this stuff. I said, okay, well, I'm sitting over here working. I'm working 12 hours, 7 days a week. My off time, I don't have anything to do. Let me hit the books. Well, 6 months later, I ended up with 4 master home certifications.
Wow. So, all while you were overseas.
While I was overseas. And then, of course, when I came back, the state was still in a process, and they still changed things. Oh, by the way, we changed some more regulations. Now you're going to have a 3-day hands-on class. So I said, okay, no problem. That's already built into my program that I originally purchased. So I said, well, I'll go for it. I went. There were only 2 home inspectors in that class. The rest of them were contractors. The state realized, well, contractors do a lot of PR work. They're not actually the ones physically doing the work, so they have a lot of subcontractors, AC guys, electric guys, plumbers, roofers, you name it. They all do the work. And so the general contractor more or less kind of makes sure that they're staying on track and make sure that things are done. He's the one that's, you know, in charge of the project. So a lot of them didn't know anything about home inspections, and they're very, very limited on air conditioning, plumbing, all these other things. And they said, well, we don't have a clue about this stuff. That's why we use subcontractors. And there was only a few in there that says, well, I do a lot of this stuff myself, but I still call in electricians and all that because I'm not certified in that kind of stuff.
Right. People are going to ask you, do you know how to do this, or do you know someone that knows how to do that?
Exactly. So where a home inspector really came in is we have to know all the fields. So a lot of the home inspectors, you do the training in electrical and the plumbing and all these other components of the home. It's what we call building science. Everything comes together and everything has to work. It's just like your vehicle. I mean, if you've got a flat tire, you're not going to go anywhere.
You're the mechanic.
You got it. So even a mechanic's limited, he's not going to rebuild that transmission. He's going to send it to the transmission shop. You need exhaust. You got to send it to the exhaust shop. So most of your mechanics, same way. Doctors are the same way. So pretty much a lot of your industry is the same way. They have a lot of specialties in something. But a home inspection is commercial, home. It doesn't matter what type of building. You have to kind of understand the science of the building. How are things working together? Well, if you got a leaking window, it doesn't just mean you have a leaking window. That means now you're going to have probably mold in the house. You can have some other problems.
You're a doctor and a mechanic, basically, for that house.
Yes. So when I came back after doing all my study and everything, and I said, okay, you know, I got my certifications, hit the books, great. No problem, knew all the stuff, was easy for me to get it. But I chose not to be a one-man show anymore. Because I like educating, I like teaching, my buyers how to maintain the home to keep more money in your pocket. These costly expenses can a lot of times be simple repairs up front. So I decided to get a little larger. I employed more inspectors. So now I have 5 inspectors. I have 2 office personnel, plus social media and all this other stuff that goes with a company. So I started being a little larger, and it gave me better time with my clients. Now I can have 2 inspectors on the same job, and I can concentrate on the areas of my clients have concern. They want to know more about a certain component. So, well, I don't know. I heard. What about this? Can you explain this to me? For example, I did one for a gentleman. There was a problem. There was roots growing underneath the wooden floor.
Okay. There was a tree, like, too close to the house kind of
no.
deal? Or
no. The whole home underneath the wooden floor had roots.
Okay.
So no matter where and what room I pulled up the floor, there's roots growing underneath the floor. Well, you have to understand, now you have a moisture problem, and the moisture, because of the plastic underlayment underneath the floor, traps moisture. So that they gave the roots the ability to grow throughout the home. So that's why you kind of have to understand all of this. And they had problems. They called other specialists in, and nobody could answer their question. And that's why they kind of went to the home inspector and said, okay, well, who knows something in this industry that is familiar with the building science, and how can one component affect another?
Gotcha. It sounds like a lot of components can affect a lot of other components.
Yes.
And that's where you have to put it all together, like the mechanic and
yes.
and the doctor. One of the things I like about you, because I think I live the same way, is you're – a reality check for people, as opposed to you don't tell them what they want to hear, you tell them what you need to hear.
Correct.
And I think that's the most important thing, is you're not just doing it and say, hey, I want the money and run. You actually try to, you know, figure out what is the problem and explain it back to the client.
Yes.
So they understand it and say, this is what's going on with the house. You need to know everything and be educated about it before you make that decision to proceed through with buying that house.
Yes, you have to get to the fundamental of the original problem.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, you kind of grew up in this business, but do you know anything about the history of home inspection? Did that actually, you say, start in the 70s? I mean,
yeah.
what happened before that when people bought a house?
You just have to know a contractor. You have to know somebody, or it's buyers beware. I mean, it's like you're throwing darts.
That's scary. So were there laws put in place in the 70s that now said, you know, because the mortgage company is lending the money, that you had to have a home inspection?
No, there's actually no laws that you have to have a home inspection. It's that most institutions now realize, and that's what happened back in the 70s, is they realize that, you know, it's benefits the buyer, it benefits the agent, it benefits everybody to have somebody there to say, hey, listen, there's some issues going on here. We got some melted wires in the wall. We got some different problems in here. This is a health hazard or something.
Okay.
So that's where all this, the industry itself drove the change. And I remember coming to this country, my dad buying a house from a relative, and we go to move in, and he turns the water on, and all the pipes were leaking. A few years back, somebody left the water on over the wintertime. This was in Pennsylvania, and we had a mess. Well, they don't do home inspections, so it's... You know,
that's where you can get stuck with the bad deal, and that's a really bad deal on the most expensive thing you're ever going to purchase.
We had water intrusion into the basement. We had water pipes had to be replaced. We put a lot of money into that. It was my parents. I still remember how frustrated they were and how strapped they were for money because of the repairs.
Right, right. Well, talking about inspections, who does them? Does the buyer do them? Does the seller, the bank? Who orders home inspections? Give me instances.
Mostly the buyers. The smart sellers will order a home inspection because they want to sell their home to top the market value. So they want to minimize, they want to have that authority in their field. So a buyer can't just come in and says, hey, my inspector found X and X. I'm going to want $20,000 off on this house. So the buyers want to make sure their investment, they want to make sure they're actually putting their money in the right area.
Okay.
My philosophy is you don't marry a house, marry a spouse.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's an investment. You have to look at the numbers. If the numbers are not there, if it's not right, walk away. There are other homes that are a better fit.
Now, I'm curious, why do you think, I mean, I would think if I had a house and I was selling it, and I wanted to, you know, offer it for top value, as the seller, I would actually consider having a home inspection done before the potential buyer did, because I'd want to know what the home inspector's telling me is wrong with that house so that I could fix it before the buyer went and did the home inspection. Do you come across cases like that where they do that, or not really?
Yes. We have quite a few. 10% of all our inspections are for sellers.
Okay.
They want to know what's going on. Can I sell this house? I have these problems. I have permit problems. I have all these kind of things. They want to know what to do so they're not going to be caught at that 11th hour, and now they have to fork out a fortune to have somebody come out and try to resolve a problem when they could have taken care of it prior at the convenience of the seller.
Right, because a lot of sellers, they don't have that seller's disclosure for anything on the property because they say they've never lived there, and therefore it goes back to buyer beware.
Yes.
Got it. All right. Are there situations where people ever purchase homes? Like if they buy a home for cash, do they avoid inspections and not even bother doing it? I mean, I would think that would be dumb, but I'm assuming that would be something people, you know, who maybe are wealthy just go, oh, I'll just buy it for cash. I don't need a home inspection. And then they have a problem. Have you come across something like that?
Yes. I do it quite a bit, and I even – usually when we are in there doing an inspection and he says, my God, I wish I would have called you when I bought this. I bought it, you know, cash a few years ago. I lived in it. I had a nightmare. I didn't realize how many problems, and I thought I knew homes, but I'm so used to living in one that I pretty much said, well, I'll fix this later. I'll fix that later. And I never pay attention. Here I am buying something.
Right.
Just so used to ignoring these items.
Procrastinating, I call it. Yes, exactly. Okay. Now, should inspectors belong to a professional association? Do you belong to an association, or do you have to belong to an association?
You do not have to belong to anything. You do not have to study, but it's your business. I always recommend, and I belong to multiple organizations, from ASHI to InterNACHI. Belonging to an organization teaches you more than just, you know, is that light bulb supposed to turn on when you flip that switch? You have mentors. You have different people. If you have a problem, well, who do I call? Where do I go? I have individuals that I mentor in different areas. I go over to those areas because they have expertise in other things. I am a 2 or 3K consultant, so I have my mentor is in Orlando. I go over there. He walks me through. He teaches me every single step of the way, whatever I'm not sure about or something changes. He's got more years of experience in it than I do. Then he comes over here, and I teach him commercial inspections. I teach him every part of that to help him his business. So we kind of work hand-to-hand, and belonging to an organization gives you that ability. I belong to 2 to 3K in a box. You know, Catherine Hall, she teaches me. Samantha, her own daughter, I did her own inspection, you know. So we get into, it's sharing the wealth. And by belonging to an organization, you share the wealth, and you teach others as they teach you. And we become more educated, and we become better at what we do.
Now, what types of inspections are there? Because when I looked at your site, I went, okay, wait a minute. I thought there were, you know, I saw 2 or 3. I went, that's what I would have thought. But before we started the show, you mentioned there were 54 types of home inspections. And I'm going, wow, 54. Give me maybe the most common types of home inspections.
There are 54 different types of an inspection, but they're not all called home inspections.
Okay.
You have insurance inspection. You have home inspection. Then now it matters if you're purchasing a new home, you're having a home built. There's a, you know, a pre-foundation where somebody goes, checks all the blueprints, making sure everything's correct. You have, for example, this is strictly new builds now. You have a pre-drywall inspection where somebody's checking to make sure all the framing, everything is done correct, the plumbing's installed correctly, the electrical's installed correctly. I did a two-story home. They forgot to run the main wires from the electrical outside from the disconnect to the electrical panel in the garage. Well, guess what? One of the homes that I didn't do a pre-drywall, we go in there and doing a pre-drywall, they had everything cut back open. So the living room, the kitchen, the pantry, everything in the garage, all the drywall was cut back open so they can run this wire from the outside of left side of the home to the right side of it inside the garage of the panel. You have all these repairs, and tell me, is your wall going to really look nice? Is everything's going to be nice then like it was originally?
Mm-hmm.
Most people can never put a box back together the exact same way the factory does it. So how can you expect the house
to do that? It's like putting the furniture together with the L-wrenches, and you get to the last piece and go, oops, I got to start all over. I've been there, so I understand that. Now, talk a little bit about soft inspections.
There's soft reports, soft inspections. It's a term that we use in the industry. This is somebody who goes in and writes strictly reports for an agent or for somebody that has just some photos in there, but there's no really written of words, no value to the report.
It's a hit and run.
It's a hit and run. If somebody's going in, they're doing a 20-minute inspection, the report shows that multiple pictures are different, and you look at the picture, so, well, wait a minute, what about that hole in the roof? Why didn't he make a comment about that hole in the roof? I can see it in the photo. Your ductwork, he's got a photo of the ductwork. I can see it's actually broke. It's apart. Why isn't there a comment in there? So having the proper documentation is the difference between having in your essay of an A or an F.
How does, when someone's hiring an inspector, how do they know the difference? This is the due diligence part. How do they know the difference between hiring a hit and run soft inspector and, you know, and hiring one that's going to be there? Because I'm assuming an inspection takes a few hours, correct,
yes,
to do it properly. So how does somebody know what they're getting?
You do your research. Better Business Bureau, how many remarks have been there? Google, how many remarks have been people? Do they leave testimonies? Do they have a website? Do they have a business license? Do they have an actual home inspection license? You know, are they doing it black market inspection? Are they actually legal out there, and what is their digital footprint?
It makes me think of Craigslist. Okay.
You know,
Craigslist to me is scary because you can go under their services and look at all these different people. Now, my understanding is if you're licensed, you're supposed to put on any advertising your license number, if I remember correctly. And yet you'll see people that don't do that, and you look at it. But because they're cheaper, you know, than they may get more jobs, but when that client ends up that they've basically been screwed over by whoever it is that they hired, now they're going to have to hire a lawyer and sue. So it comes down to do it right the first time, because if you don't, it's going to cost you more on the back end, and especially with the home, the largest purchase you're ever going to make, that's a really, really big mistake. It's not like a mechanic for a car. That could be a big mistake, but not like a house.
Yes.
That's a much bigger mistake.
Even have a license number on it. Check the license number on it. Do they actually belong to that individual? What I normally tell my clients, it's the same thing as your gas station. Look down the street. You see one that's 10 cents cheaper than the other one. They're the same name brand. Well, they're individually owned. What kind of gas that he's buying? Are you getting your 20 miles to a gallon on that cheap one, or are you getting 15 on that cheap one and you're getting 20 on that one? Well, when they clean out the tanks on the ports, they use chemicals. They have to get rid of that stuff somehow. So sometimes these gas stations will reduce their prices just to get that cheap fuel so they can get rid of it on the market. Your price is always dictating what's really happening.
The problem with America nowadays is that it comes down to you get what you pay. You should get what you pay for. People, it's like when companies contract out bids, oftentimes it's the cheapest bid. But what that person doing that's comparing those bids is they're really not comparing. They're going, well, what's the price to do the job? They're really comparing, I think, a lot of times they're thinking they're all apples and it's apples to oranges.
Yes.
Because what's the difference from what the other ones are and why are they more expensive? So if you maybe pay the higher price, you're going to get someone that actually cares about what's happening, in this case with the house, versus those people that are not licensed. Now, are home inspectors insured?
They are supposed to be insured. What I find a lot of times, they do not have the proper insurance. Most inspectors, for example, if you're going to climb up on a roof, you have to have workman's comp. Well, it costs you $50 a day just to have that workman's comp. So now, if I want to cut that price down, well, guess what? And a lot of them have in their disclosure, I'm not going to walk roofs. I am not going to claw in attics. I'm not going to get underneath the home. If your home is not above 3 feet, I'm not going to get under it. If your attic is not X amount of size, I'm not going to get in. Or they're going to say, I'm going to charge you more. So you have to find out, and for example, if the home inspector does new construction, you have to have a minimum of $1 million policy. Where a regular home inspector in the state of Florida, you only need $300,000.
So let me ask you a question. So let's say somebody hires a home inspector that's not is not insured, and they go up on the roof and they fall and get hurt. Now what happens? Probably the homeowner and possibly the person hiring that inspector would be liable for that person's, injuries, so to speak.
Your contract, when you write that contract with the buyer, the buyer is actually in his contract that he has to be, he's liable for everything. So if that inspector causes damage or does anything, then guess who's paying for it? That buyer.
Yeah, that's a big, big mistake. So, so let me ask you another question on the reports. When you generate a report, are there state requirements for or any type of requirements for a report that a home inspector does?
Yes, there is. The state of Florida has an SOP. Some of the states do. Some of them do not. Some of the other states in the country, they have different requirements. In Florida, for example, you're in Miami, your home's going to be built a little different than one up in Pensacola. So the state's kind of has the right stuff to match what the state has. Texas has a complete different requirement than a lot of states. So you always have to go by what the state requirement is, not some other organization.
So there are differences, though, by county also?
Yes. Some of the counties will – it's not so – they're not very big, but some of the counties might have some special items or something. Miami County, Hurricane, they have a different requirement than a lot of the other parts of the state because they're always hit with hurricanes.
Gotcha. All right. Well, what I want to do, I want to go to a short commercial break, and when we come back, I got a lot more questions for you. Stay with us.
Central Payment, your number one credit card merchant service provider in the industry. Providing e-commerce solutions, POS systems, standalone terminals, mobile apps, and much more. Call Central Payments James Carner at 813-777-4332. Looking for the lowest rates in the industry and number one customer service? Call Central Payments, James Carner, at 813-777-4332. That's James Carner, 813-777-4332.
Welcome back to the world of Lori Zook. I've got Ludwig Maxwell here from Divinity Home Inspections, and we're going to start back up with home inspections on the levels of expertise for home inspectors. Are all home inspectors at the same level? Are there different levels? Are you rated differently?
There is no rating scheme. There is there are different levels, and it's based on your education. There are a few inspectors, just like every other industry, you always have the bad apples. There are some out there and says, well, I don't need to know this. I'm only going to do this. We're required to have 7 continuous hours per year of education. Some of the inspectors will go on, they will learn how to cheat, and they would just, okay, let's get this done. I got it. Boom, in, out, I'm out. Last year I did, 47 credit hours, 47. Whatever it was, seminars, different thing. So it's how much you want to invest into your business that you're going to get the return, and that's why there's different levels.
Okay, gotcha. So when you go into do a home inspection, you're getting dirty. You're like down and you have to go through the whole house, crawl through all the walls, you know, go up on the ceiling, go through the attic. I mean, that's like a dirty job. Is that a tough job for you? I know you like doing it, but because you're helping the homeowner potentially. But like, I think, oh my God, I'd be crawling around with like bugs and, you know, pests and things like that. That would make me a little nervous.
Yes,
that would be me. I'm a girl.
I have to sometimes change clothes, and there's times I've run out of clothes because you get so nasty and dirty, and some areas are very hard. And give you a good example, I climbed up in one attic, and I had to climb over the AC and through the attic just to get to the other side to find out this brand-new roof that was put on this home, they never installed or reinstalled the chimney. So you have a gas-working fireplace that's actually on my Lincoln, and it shows you that the roof was crushed on top of the flue pipe, and it's once you ignite that fireplace, the heat is going directly to the roof sheeting. But if I didn't take the time to crawl through that roof, and it was 130-some degrees up there, and it was very difficult to get to the other side, but, you know, it didn't dawn on me when I was walking to the outside, oh, well, wait a minute, I'm missing a chimney. Because my other inspector's on the inside, I'm going through, and I'm doing my normal routine as I get up in the attic. Well, let me get over there and find out.
You know, it makes me think, if your home inspector doesn't come out dirty, there's something wrong if he comes out clean, right?
Yes.
that would be sort of a clue there. Now, do you focus on residential inspection, and do most inspectors, do they cover all different things, or do they cover one? You know, do they cover commercial and residential?
Most inspectors will do homes. Let's face it, there are more homes than commercial buildings. You also have some inspectors will only do commercial. They will not touch a home. So there's different types of inspectors for different types of jobs. I do both because of my background experience, because I kind of grew up.
And, doing that.
Yeah.
All right, gotcha. Now, what happens, like, if somebody says to you, or you say to a client, well, you're going to need to have this done, because at the end, right, you go through the whole report process. Now, are you allowed to... If the potential homeowner says, hey, I'm going to buy this house, but I need someone to do this or I need someone to do that, are you allowed to refer them to somebody? Is that a conflict of interest? How does that work if you know that they're going to need help?
I can refer them to anyone. Sometimes I will have a good individual. I will give them 2 or 3 depending on what it is. Referral is not a bad thing, but the state of Florida does make you responsible. So if you're giving out bad referrals, and come back on you. So far as inspectors will actually do the work themselves, and it's a conflict of interest. The only clause on that, the Florida says, if you have a pre-agreement, then your inspector will do the work prior. But there's inspectors out there will come out, they open up their vehicles, all their tools and everything, saying, oh, yeah, I know how to do all of this here. And by the way, this is what's wrong with your home, and They're basically only doing the items and writing up the items that they can actually service
and
make more money. So they'll have a cheaper price on the inspection because they know they can get you on the back end.
I gotcha. Okay. Now we're in Florida. The show is nationwide. But in Florida, what's the average that an inspector charges for an inspection? I mean, what should somebody expect to pay if they have a good inspector? Because that'll tell us, you know, if someone says $100, you're going to say to me, there's something wrong if you're going to charge $100. What would you say is the average?
$1,500. The home, basically what we have to look at is how many bedrooms, bathrooms, kitchens, how many amenities does the home have? So you're looking at an average 1,000, a 2,000 square foot home, you're looking at $300 for a home inspection. That's not including your insurance inspections or anything else that's needed. That's just basically your home inspection. It's not the... The price is also including how much time it takes to write the report. So if I'm doing a brand spanking new home, it's going to be a little different than I have a home that's well maintained. So that's where you have to kind of base what your price is, and that's why it does vary a little bit.
Okay. Now, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you, should the person requesting the inspection attend the inspection if they can?
100%. There are inspectors who will show up and spend 20 minutes in there. And as I told you earlier, where we were kind of talking offline, I had a call from an agent that was just freaking out. She left for a while, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was. The inspector went to the house. He turned things on. I'm hearing her on the phone screaming that the water sloshing. She's actually walking through water. It's all over the floor. I can hear the sloshing going on. She's screaming. I've got smoke coming out of the attic. What's going on? Where are you at? And then just to find out, she accidentally called the wrong inspector. But that just goes to show you how someone would just go in there, come out, and disappear.
Well, what can someone do if they like in a situation like that, what could that lady have done? Could she report that inspector?
Absolutely. She can report them to the state.
Okay.
That was the agent that actually called me, and she's never going to use them again. But she can report them to the state. And what, excuse me, what we do at the end of the inspection is we go through all the photos with the client, educate them about the house. Some things that can be simply done, maintenance that you can do every month to help you reduce and keep more money in your pocket.
So it kind of gives them a list. So if they go back to the seller and say, okay, I want you to take care of these big things in this report, but it still gives them maybe the smaller things that they can do or hire somebody to do themselves, it kind of has – it's a plan.
It is a plan. That's why I developed my reports. I have a honey-do list, and I have your general large items that you need to take care of now.
Okay. Now, someone comes to you. Do they fill out a form prior to inspection?
Yes. It's an agreement. The agreement gives me the right to go in to perform the inspection.
All right. And what is – I've heard of a four-point inspection. What is that?
A four-point is nothing more than the insurance company requires to know more about the home. They're asking for certain things. For example, some of the underlayment things or underwritten things that you kind of don't know about. Does the home have a trampoline? Is there any safety issues? What's going on? If I would ask you, tell me all about the home that's two blocks away from you, you have never been there, have no clue what it looks like, the insurance company wants to know what their liability of that home is. So if there's some major problems, you've got electrical problems, if you have plumbing, is the plumbing leaking? Is it...
sloshing, just like in the last one.
You got
it. Or if it's electrical, you'd have a fire.
Yep.
Things like that. Okay, so I get that. And now, when you arrive at a home as an inspector, what equipment do you bring? What should be with you?
Most inspectors will have some kind of digital equipment that they can record, take notes, camera. Some use iPads. Some use iPhones. They use some kind of digital equipment that they can record what's going on in the house. Moisture meters, for example, we have all thermal images. Not all inspectors have that. There's some other items that we check, outlets, different tools that we use to find out what's going on with the property. Once you find something, you have to have the additional tools to do something. You know, some inspectors never open up electrical panels, so we have a typical screwdriver.
Okay, gotcha. So you're prepared. That's what they should be. Now, if the person requesting the inspection is requesting answers to specific questions, in other words, they may have already viewed the house and had some questions, should they give you a list of those questions?
Absolutely. Give me the list. Talk to me. Talk to my office. My staff will write them down, and then we can review them with you and make sure that the home is all about your comfort zone. For example, I can have one individual who is petrified electric, of anything electric. They want to know about whatever's going on with electric because they had a family member was killed by electric, you know,
right.
Faulty outlets or whatever. Another one says, oh, my God, we had a lot of water damage. I want to know more about the hot water heater. I want to know how it works. And, well, it's a gas. I did one home inspection. The woman ordered all brand-new appliances. The only problem was the house was all gas. She didn't have any electric. She had no clue.
Yep.
But if she would have asked us prior, you know, hey, I'm ordering these. Can I put these in? What's going on? It wasn't until the inspection when she found out that, my God, it's going to cost me an extra $5,000 now to get all this electric in because my electric wasn't big enough
right.
for all the electric appliances. So now I have to have new electric panel put in. My wires have to be brought into my stove, my dryer, and all this stuff. It's going to cost her a fortune.
You don't miss anything, do you? That's good.
I try not to.
Yeah, that's good. Now, let's talk about where do you start the inspection and what kind of order do you go in?
Our company has a standard SOP, and most inspectors try to have one. It depends on if we're doing the home with one inspector or two inspectors. We always start with the kitchen first on the inside. The outside, we start at the front door. So it doesn't matter which home, what the configuration is, how it is, with a standard SOP, which is a standard operating procedure, that we know if the inspector, for whatever reason, has to stop, the next guy knows where he's picking up at.
Okay. All right. Now, let's talk about some specific things. Maybe you could tell me, as we go through these different categories, what do you look for, or what if someone, maybe a prospective buyer, when they walk into a house, if they had a list like this, they would know some basics to look for. So when you go in, what do you do with walls and ceilings?
Had they been previously repaired? Are there cracks in there? What direction are the cracks? We're looking for those kind of things, telltale signs.
What about structure? I mean, I have a friend who's a realtor, and I remember one time years ago looking at a house with her, and she knew right away there were structural cracks. This is in the outside of the house. And so she took a dime and, like, put it in the crack. Now, I don't know if that means anything, but if you see big cracks going across the wall, I'm assuming that's usually some type of structural damage.
Yes. The cracks have to tell a story. So not every crack means a structural problem. Some cracks are there if the house was just built and that section of the ground was never properly compacted as it should have been, you're going to get some kind of sullen cracks. So you have to look at the pattern and what's going on. It could be just a simple building defect. So the experience comes in analyzing that, knowing what type of cracks you're looking for. So just using a dime. But if you got paint in that crack could be 20 years old. Could have happened when they first built it. I did one where I showed the individual, I knocked a stucco off the wall and I could put my finger through the crack. He goes, well, how can you tell? I said, well, stand back. The house is leaning towards the center.
Yes. One of the things I've noticed in houses is the floors, when the floors are not straight, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's almost like the house is tilted at different corners. Now, I'm also a northerner. I'm from New Jersey, and I had never heard of sinkholes before moving here. Is that something that you look at? And maybe for listeners who don't know what a sinkhole is, explain what it is.
A sinkhole is nothing more than a void in the ground, and it's being refilled by the sand above it. It's all it really is. But sinkholes are worldwide. But you do have some locations that are prone for it. I did a house in South Tampa, for example, and it was leaning. One side of the home was leaning. There was no sinkhole. The problem is the pet dog went underneath the house, digging underneath the pillars for cooler ground.
And the house moved?
The house was starting to sink on one side because of the dog.
I better watch out. I have a Great Dane. That would be dangerous. You know, you always wonder that kind of thing. Yeah, sinkholes I had never heard of. I actually have a friend that used to specialize in sinkholes, but I had never heard of it. And so I don't know if you recall, but a few years ago, I think it was in the Brandon area, a house collapsed inside and somebody died, like was swallowed up. So when you go out to the house, do you know what to look for with sinkholes, or does that require someone else to come in?
Let me put it back in a layman's term.
Okay.
Every lake is a sinkhole. Water filled it in, okay? You cannot see into the ground. You can only see the top. So what we do as an inspector, you kind of look for the telltale signs. Are there certain cracks? Is there certain movements? Is there certain things that are going on in a house? Above that or beyond that, you have to have some kind of ground-penetrating radar system that's going to look inside the ground. That first test is about $5,000. The next test up is about anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000, because now what they have to do is they have to drill down into the ground, and they have to do it every corner of the house and start taking a radar and show and looking through what's underneath the home. But sinkholes, if you can do all the inspections right now, doesn't mean what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. But certain areas will tell you what's going on, and it will tell you what's happening.
Gotcha. When you do an inspection now, and someone wants to check for termites, because I know that's a common problem, does the prospective buyer arrange that? Is that something that you help them arrange?
I help them arrange that. I do not do the termite inspection. By the way, there's no such thing as termite inspection anymore.
Okay.
The terminology was changed a while back when everything else was changed. Now it's called WDO. It's wood destroying organism. So the lender doesn't care what's destroying the wood. They just want to know, has it been damaged? Has it been repaired? Everything in between is your problem. So they want to know, okay, I got some termites, or I got some beetles that ate up this wood, or I got water damage that destroyed this wood. Now the house is no longer structurally sound. Even though some of it might be on the outside and a cosmetic item, but if it's not taken care of, it's going to keep eating into fodder into the home, and that's what they want to prevent.
Gotcha. All right, let's talk about windows and doors. What are things that you look at on windows and doors? I mean, I look at this and go, it's a window and it's a door.
Yes.
Do you look at things like whether they're all lined up evenly? What problems do you look for?
Are they functional? Windows have a challenge balancer inside. Is it broke? So if I put my window up, will it fall down and break my hand? Is it functioning the way it's supposed to be? Insulated windows, the seal broken? Is it all foggy inside? One of the most common things people change is the inside garage door. They take the old door out, now they put in this new fancy door that's not fire resistant. So you have to fire a 20-minute fire protection on that door.
Sounds to me like you should be a consultant for all the inspectors
out
there, because you know your stuff. Fireplaces and wood-burning stoves.
We can only, as an inspector, if you've gone through the class, you can only do the level one inspection for fireplaces. After that, a chimney sweep, that's one of the new regulations that have been changed. Chimney sweep have to do a second and a third level to certify that. Second level is basically how safe it is. They have to camera it. They have to look inside. Are there any cracks inside? We did a house the other day out in Brooksville, actually it was. The fireplace burned the underneath of the home. So your wood, it was an elevated home. The wood beams underneath were actually burnt. So what they did is put some plywood up in there and put some spacers up there to kind of level things back out. So if your fireplace is rusted out or a masonry fireplace, there's a cement's missing, the heat's going to penetrate through that. Catch the house on fire.
Ugh.
That's what they want to know.
Right. That's because they're evaluating their liability.
Yep.
What about floors?
Floors. I did a house that had a huge crack through the center of it. Well, what's the crack? The crack, is it a sinkhole? Is it just a normal settling crack? Whatever's going on.
Gotcha. Insulation.
Oh, that's a big thing. Insulation, people don't realize. We got brand spanking new built homes. They forgot to put the insulation in. It was Friday afternoon. Oh, well, I forgot to put it in. That's one of your big things about insulation. It's going to be an energy efficiency, you know.
Okay. And heating and air conditioning, those are important things, especially the air conditioning here in Florida.
Your heating is a requirement on the 4-point. All homes must have heat, and it must be adequate. Cooling is a luxury. So it's not one of those things that the insurance company is looking for. But if you don't have the proper safety valves on them, you could have water flooding out, your floors inside. Is your condensation drain line, is it insulated? Does it run to the outside? Does it have a P-trap on it? Are there proper mechanisms in place to prevent water damage?
Now, we only have a few minutes, and I had a huge list for you. But I want to cover, let me ask you about the property, grading the water away from the house. That would be a big one, because
yes,
otherwise, what happens?
You end up having water inside, and the grading could be not only you, it could be the your next-door neighbor. It could be a couple different things. So if you're having water running in on a severe storm, and you're getting carpet wet, or you don't have the proper rain, the drain gutters on your roof, and now everything is dumping next to your home, and you've got a flower garden there. The flower garden is elevated. That ends up being a bowl. Now the water's running inside the house.
Yeah.
So grading is not just the dirt around the house. It could be flower beds.
Gotcha. Now, I know we had a whole list, but I want to kind of go on a little bit because I had a few more questions for you. You were saying that inspectors generally should be insured. How do you to check out their reputation, I would say pretty much you can go online. Same thing I did with you is I went online and I went, wow, this guy's got all stellar ratings. You know, everything lines up. Everything looks good. But if you can't find somebody, I would think that's a hint that, you know, like I mentioned Craigslist earlier, because that's where you're going to get the people that are not insured or may not really even be inspectors or are not licensed. How long when you, let's just say, a medium-sized house, three-bedroom, two-bathroom, you go through it, you're taking all the pictures, and then at that point, at the end of the inspection, do you go through it with the client and show them, like, immediately the big things?
Yes. I go through the end of it. I actually review every single photo so they can see the home under the inspector's eyes. Through the inspector's eyes, what's going on? We educate the client what is happening. Yes, it takes time. An average 2,000 square foot home can take you anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, depending on what amenities it has. You know, how many bathrooms, how many bedrooms, how big's the kitchen? Does it have, you know, detached garage, attached garage, all those kind of things.
Okay, how long does it take to actually generate the report once you've gone through it with them? You know, and they want to get the actual report. And then how big is that report?
The report can be anywhere from 35 pages and up. I've had a couple of them. They were 100 and some pages because they're just multiple areas of concerns. The report writing time can take anywhere from 2 to 4 hours.
Okay. And what advice would you give to somebody, you know, listening to the show, somebody who's going to hire an inspector? What advice that maybe we didn't cover would you give?
Call them. Talk to them. See how educated. How's their staff? How's their working out? Can they answer you? Are they going to return your call? I have clients that call me and says, you know, I need to speak to the inspector. I realize they're extremely busy. I don't want to just talk to the staff. I want to talk to him, see how knowledgeable he is. Talk to him. It might only take you 3 to 5 minutes talking to him, realizing he actually has experience. He's done this. He's been there.
Right. Last question. What are some simple things that a buyer can look for in the home themselves before you? We were trying to touch on that a little bit earlier. I walk into a house. I'm a woman. I'm not, you know, I don't know anything about mechanics and technical. What are some immediate things that would cue me that there's something wrong here?
Well, let me take you back on that thing. It doesn't matter what your gender is, who you are. I have contractors who will miss things. I have professionals who will miss things. So it's one of the things is your emotions involved in that. If you walk into the house, you're basically involving your emotions. You have to step out of that. If you cannot, what I do recommend is you do have some kind of checklist. Look around. See what's going on. Check a few different homes out. See what cracks, different problems happening. If there's areas that looks like, hey, I don't know, there have been multiple repairs. Those are all red flags.
Okay.
Do some research. But it has nothing to do with who you are because your emotions are involved.
Right. And I know when people go to buy a home, that's the thing is they emotionally become attached to the house that they want. And I'll just share a quick story many, many years ago. I there was a house that I wanted to purchase. And, yes, I became emotionally attached to that house and I made an offer. The house had a couple of rare trees in the front at the entrance. The odd thing was the owner lived on the other coast and refused to turn the water on, which right away to me is a cue. If you're refusing to turn the water on, even if I'm going to pay for that, there's something wrong. Well, anyway, they ended up finally agreeing to turn the water on, but they cut down one of these rare trees. And at that point, you know, the deal was done. They wanted to charge me all this extra money. Something was shady.
Yep.
And I went, you know what? So I ended up losing my money. I could have fought it out in court. I lost, I think it was a $600 deposit. Ultimately, in the end, and this is back in New Jersey, I ended up finding a much nicer house.
Yes.
The kicker to the story, both the house I bought and the house I was looking at were lakefront houses. So one day I had my aunt with me in the car and we drove by the first house. And it was, I think it was springtime. And all the mosquitoes were just, I mean, the whole air was heavy with mosquitoes. And I went, thank God I didn't buy that house. But the emotional attachment level of it, I definitely do understand. Can you give me a quick success story for you? Maybe something that was bad that turned out good.
I did an inspection. We had a lot of problems with it. Unique comb, slap on grade, elevated in some areas, cantilevered in other areas. It's just a family home that they built on over the years. We had some windows you kind of had to open up by hand, and they were on hinges. It was very unique, but we had a lot of problems because the honeydew individual didn't finish all the projects. The end of it, the agent says, hey, listen, what can we do? The buyer really wants it, loves the house, but we have all these problems. The seller is just, the hands are tied. They don't know what to do. They're throwing up their hands. I said, well, I'll have the seller give me a call, see what's going on. As I talked to him and what it is, he goes, that's all it is? I said, yes, these projects have to be finished. You can't leave wires hanging. You can't leave some of these other things. You just have to finish some of these projects. And some of these other things, you have to get an electrician to come in and take care of. You have to get a roofer. And, you know, then the agent called me up and says, oh, my God, the deal went through like it was a hot knife and butter. It's just unbelievable. Once he understood,
right,
it wasn't that overwhelming anymore for him. He started realizing that over the years, things just got forgotten.
Yeah,
things need to be taken care of.
That's it. And you explained it, and that's probably, I'm sure, why the deal actually went through. I want to thank you very much for joining me today. Oh, go ahead. You
have
a question?
One little thing is, before you order your inspection, make sure that the house is ready for inspection. I know we didn't talk about that,
okay,
but utilities got to be on. Check the permits. You walk it in, there's all kinds of additions been put on the house. There's no permits for it. Most likely, you're going to have a lot of problems.
Problems. That's a good point. How can you be reached?
You reach me through Divinity Inspection Service. We have an online service there you can actually fill out, and it goes straight to my office. You can call me. We have multiple people that will talk to you. We email. So you actually get a live person, and I've answered my phone 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I'll remember that. I remember that if someone calls me for one. What's your phone number?
It's area code 813-368-6813.
Great. Thanks very much, Ludwig Maxwell, for joining me today. It's been a pleasure. And join us next week on The World of Lori Zook.